From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. The federal government is finalizing the buyback of heavily logged forest lands on Admiralty Island from Sitka's Urban Native Corporation. U.S. Forest Service's Don Collinsworth says the $18.2 million deal will be completed in over 4 years.
They were lands that had been conveyed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act to the Shiatica Corporation, and they were logged at one time, but they are returning to a more natural character and will be allowed to do so.
The nearly 23,000 acres are on Cube Cove, about 30 miles south of Juneau. They'll be added to Kootsnuwu Wilderness, a protected part of the Tongass National Forest, and will be off limits to future logging. The land deal involves the lion's share of Shiatica's real estate holdings. The lands were intensively logged in the 1980s. In 2016, Shiatica sold 4,500 acres near Cube Cove to the U.S. Forest Service for nearly $4 million. The deal was unpopular among some shareholders, who called for then-CEO Ken Cameron to step down. Congress has appropriated funds annually over the past 4 years to complete the transfer. And in other news, lawmakers heard testimony from those affected by Pioneer home rate increases earlier this week in a hearing. They're considering a bill that would partially reverse rate increases that went into effect last year. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
Last September, residents at the 6 Pioneer homes across Alaska saw their rates jump between 40 and 140%. That's left some seniors in dire financial straits. Juneau resident Brad Ryder says his mother's rate more than doubled.
Directly after it went into effect, my mother's rate went from just over $4,000, it went up to over $11,000, almost overnight.
Ryder, his parents, and a resident of Ketchikan's Pioneer home are plaintiffs in a lawsuit that seeks to reverse the rate increases. The state has justified the new rates by arguing that they're bringing fees in line with the cost of caring for Alaska's elders. Pioneer homes charge residents based on the level of care that they need. In September, the lowest-paying residents saw their rates jump by about $1,000, but rates for some residents requiring more intense care jumped by more than $6,000. Legislators have been weighing in. At a recent Senate hearing, Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields pushed a bill that would dial back the rate increases.
There are three goals of House Bill 96, maintain the Pioneer Homes and Alaska's historic commitment to our elders, provide revenue and financial stability for the homes, and provide some certainty and predictability to both residents and the department about the trajectory of rates in the future.
Rates under Fields' bill would still be higher than they were before last year's hike, but the increases would be less dramatic. Residents requiring the most intense care would see increases of less than $2,000. Lower-level residents' rates would only rise by a little more than $400. Ryder pushed the committee to advance the bill. He asked the legislature to support both the homes and the elders that live there.
We should be holding it up for the rest of the country to look at. Those guys are great. And the people in there are great.
The bill passed the Alaska House 35-4 during the last legislative session. Senate President Kathy Geisel and Senate Minority Leader Tom Begich have signed on as sponsors in the Senate. But even if passed by lawmakers, it could face the governor's veto. In the meantime, there is financial assistance for those who can't afford the higher rates. But in many cases, residents are forced to sell most of their properties and belongings, or even get a divorce to untangle their assets. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And now to cake. The rainforest of Southeast Alaska might seem like an unlikely place to find solar energy taking off. But that's exactly what's happening in cake, where high energy costs have spurred growing interest in renewable energy. While installing solar panels has allowed some people and organizations to cut their energy bills, the impact on the local grid is more complicated. KCAW's Ari Snyder has more.
Like many isolated towns, Cake gets power from diesel generators, and it's not cheap. Don Jackson, executive director of the Organized Village of Cake, says high energy costs affect all aspects of the community's day-to-day life.
We're so used to having one light bulb on. We're so used to having a wood stove. We're so used to having colder houses because the stoves are on low. And that's how we raise our children, and that's how our children are raising our grandchildren.
But even this deeply ingrained emphasis on energy efficiency isn't always enough to keep the bills down.
And the more that we try to conserve, the higher the electrical rates will be going up. And this past year, we had two or three electrical rate hikes.
After you factor in state credits through the Power Cost Equalization Program, the residential rate comes in at around 30 cents per kilowatt hour. That's well above the statewide average and close to three times the national average. Gary Williams, a former OVK executive director, says high energy costs are a burden on businesses as well. The commercial electric rate is about twice the residential rate once you factor in power cost equalization.
Energy has been a critical issue over here as far as a roadblock to development. I mean, it's one of the things that probably was a main factor in why the cold storage ceased operations.
In 2012, OVK received federal funding to install solar panels to defray its energy costs. Williams estimates the panels have saved thousands of dollars over the years. Southeast Alaska isn't exactly known as a sunshine destination, but if you're going to put up solar panels in the rainforest, Cake is one of the best places to do so. Clay Good is with the Renewable Energy Alaska Project.
They have really good exposure to the sun, particularly, spring through fall. They have just this huge arc of sunlight across their horizon, and more so than a lot of Southeast communities.
Good works with towns around the region on a variety of renewable energy and energy efficiency projects. He says Cake's favorable location has generated more local interest in solar.
And so there seems to be more of a buzz about solar energy in Cake than you'll find maybe in other communities that don't have as good a weather or as good exposure as Cake does.
Perhaps this should come as no surprise. The name Cake comes from the Tlingit words meaning mouth of dawn or opening of daylight. The challenge, though, is linking solar energy to the grid. Cake buys its energy from the Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, or IPEC, which supplies electricity to five small Southeast communities. IPEC CEO Jody Mitchell says the company, like many residents, wants to cut rates and boost renewable energy production, but reaching that shared objective is more complicated. The recent uptick in solar energy has actually made electricity more expensive because it means IPEC is selling less electricity overall.
And so if we're selling less and less power, guess what happens to our rates? They have to go up to cover our costs. Because we basically run IPEC as like a break-even entity, but no company can lose money for years and years and then be sustainable.
The patchwork of solar installations also throws a proverbial wrench into the diesel generators. Mitchell uses the analogy of a stick shift car. The generators work most efficiently when they're cruising along in fourth gear, but when the sun comes out and solar cranks up, IPEC has to downshift.
Instead of having it in fourth gear, say we have to run it in third or second. And so it's not as efficient. And therefore, we burn more fuel. It makes our whole system less efficient and also can cause long-term problems with our diesels.
Mitchell is quick to add that IPEC is very much in favor of investing in low-carbon energy and reducing electric rates for its customers, but they prefer grid-wide projects over individually owned systems. And they've got a big one in the works, the Gunnick Creek Hydroelectric Project, which Mitchell says will supply at least half of Cake's electrical demand.
And in fact, there will be times in Cake that we'll be able to be diesels off when loads are low and there's high rain events.
The project is expected to come online in the spring, but one hydro project is not likely to fully outshine emerging solar power in Cake. OVK plans to conduct a pair of studies this year to assess the viability of both residential and large-scale projects, opening Cake to even more daylight in the future. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ari Snyder.
And in other news, the Northern Panhandle woke up to a snowstorm this morning. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning. They say up to 8 inches of snow are expected throughout the day, with 2 to 4 more inches expected overnight. Here's meteorologist Pete Boyd.
The snow is going to start tapering off a little bit later tonight and into Friday, but we're going to continue to get some snow showers Friday and to Saturday.
The Weather Service says heavy snowfall is also expected in Pelican, Gustavus, Hoonah, and Haines. The storm is creating slippery conditions on the roads.
This is heavy snow. These are going to be slick roads, low visibility. So take your time. Slow down driving.
Skiers and backcountry recreationalists should also take caution. A combination of gusty winds and wet, heavy snow means a risk of avalanche is high, according to the Juneau Urban Avalanche Advisory. Alaska Airlines spokesperson Tim Thompson says there have been 8 flight cancellations throughout Southeast Alaska since this morning. He says there are flight delays in and out of Juneau due to weather. Thompson says that travelers can check the Alaska Airlines mobile app or website or call customer service for their latest flight information. Several Juneau bus routes have changed because of the snow. If you're taking the bus today, you can check with Capital Transit or visit ktoo.org for a list of route changes. And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of tonight, areas of blowing snow are expected and also rain showers. Highs in the mid-30s. And for Friday night, Snow showers are likely and highs in the 30s. You're listening to KTOO. For more news and information, you can always visit our website. That's at ktoo.org.